Good morning.
Good morning.
A few years ago, about 3 years ago, I was down in Asilomar for a lecture, and there was a man named Peter Kingsley who was sharing a little bit of his story. And one poignant point in his story that I remember distinctly, him talking about a time in his life when his world came crashing down. There was a car accident that he was in, and his car was totaled. And he was in shock, and something was really shaken. And he remained in this state, and after a period of time, his marriage fell apart, and his wife left him. And then he lost his house. And all of his hopes were gone. All of his dreams of his future together and the things that he envisioned were dead. This was a dark time for him. And I wonder, what do we do when we ourselves find we're in a dark time? What do we do when we're in agony or anguish? Where do we turn? To whom? To what? Do we turn to things that might numb the pain? Alcohol, drugs, sex? Do we turn away from God? Do we turn to God? In our gospel reading, we read about Martha and Mary, who have a brother we know as Lazarus, the one that Jesus loved. And Martha and Mary are with him when he's dying. And they send word to Jesus saying, "The one that you love is sick." And Jesus knows that he's dying. But Jesus doesn't go. Jesus is absent at a time when they need Jesus most. Why? Why did Jesus stay away? Why did God seem so absent to Peter Kingsley in the midst of his life falling apart? At times like this, dark times, which has dark has many definitions, but I'm referring to the darkness as that time we experience as the absence of God, when God does not feel present to us and seems far away. At these dark times, we can be present to our hearts and what we feel most. The 20th century Trappist monk, who many of you might know, Thomas Merton, writes a really simple little statement that I like. It says, "Enter the cave of your heart that contains God, whom the universe cannot contain." So simple. Be present to the anguish in our heart. The sadness, the tears, the grieving, feel it. Because that presence to our heart, that awareness to our own, this structure that we think of ourselves as just beating, but this emotional, this pain, agony, puts us in touch with our heart. And it's like a softening of our heart. It's an opening of our heart. And as painful as it may be, the walls of our heart starts to crack open. In general, we live this life and we have many things we love in this world. It's beautiful and there's so many ways to enjoy it. And we get comfortable in the patterns that we live. But as Merton says, this universe cannot contain it. God is beyond all of our conceptions of God. Whatever I can say is nothing. Whatever we read in the Bible is just pointing to that limitless, unending capacity of God. And yet, God is inside this little thing called our heart. It's so grand, we don't even know how big and spacious it can be. So sometimes when we find ourselves in this dire, dark state, a way to live in this place and this time is to be in the heart, to feel that anguish, to feel the tears, to experience the fullness of what it means to be sad, losing something that we loved or hoped for or dreamed of. And in psychological terms, this is pretty much the breaking apart of our ego. Our ego is kind of the structures that we hold ourselves together with, the way we perceive ourselves, the things that we've kind of identified with, like I said, our hopes and our dreams. And a quote that I wanted to share with you from a 20th century also, but a Sufi mystic named Baisab in India. He had said, "The ego cannot go with caresses and laughter. It must be chased with sorrow and drowned with tears." Oh. What kind of future are we in for in this relationship with God? Chased with sorrow and drowned with tears? Martha and Mary were being chased with sorrow and drowned with tears. Their brother, the one they loved so dearly, has died. And God was there 2 miles away. I mean, we're talking between Bethany and Jerusalem and the other parts of this reading that we didn't include. It says it's only 2 miles away. God is so close. And yet God didn't come. God was absent. Why? The opening of our hearts, the expansion of something great that we do not know that is yet to come, to prepare us. Swedenborg calls this a time of temptation, and it's part of our process of regeneration. Swedenborg writes that in temptation, it looks as if a person is left to oneself, but one is not, since God is then most close and secretly gives one support. When therefore anyone is victorious over temptation, one is most inwardly linked with God. This idea of temptation, as Swedenborg identifies, as if a person is left to oneself. Martha and Mary felt like they were left to themselves. The person I was speaking about, King Peter Kingsley, felt like he was left to himself. When we go through anything that we might imagine, some of the dark times of our lives, we feel like the world is falling apart around us and we're left in the dark, in the absence of something that we had gravely hoped for, something to come and save us. Very dark. But Swedenborg says, if we are victorious, what does that mean to be victorious? How do you be victorious through the pain of something that's being chased with sorrow and drowned with tears? It's to remain, as Jesus says in this scripture, in this gospel reading, if you believe in me. And he tells Martha, if you believe in me, you'll see the glory of God. And he goes over to the tomb and says, take away the stone. And she says, but Lord, it's been 4 days, and there's a bad odor. Sometimes when things have become so remotely dead, stinkingly dead, when things feel like so hopeless, as we read in our first reading from Ezekiel, Our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Nothing is impossible for God. God is our life itself. God can restore our life. God can restore our hope. And God said to Martha, "Did I not say, if you believe, you will see the glory of God?" Oops. Yes. It's a painful process. But the process ends with the revelation of God's glory. With the life of God being implanted in our being, in our heart. With the experience of something new, a new reverence for God, an open trusting, open-heartedness, and a trusting of God that we had never known before. If we turn to God instead of something else or turning away from God, God is saying, we will see the glory of God. I had an experience in my 20s. I was about 23, 20, 24, 25, when I really went through a very spiritually powerful experience for me that was very uplifting for me in my relationship with God. And I got to a point where I just felt so... I felt like it was all me. And I got to a point where it just became, I felt like, where's God in all of this? I'm driving, I'm striving. I felt all alone. I felt like God was nowhere. I felt like it was just me doing this. And in one instant, I turned away and I threw it all away. I threw God away. I threw the Bible out. All the readings I was doing, all gone. And it was a very dark time. I was depressed. It took God 6 months to put love back in my heart. Because in the midst of my darkness, I knew, this is what brought me back, that my mother loved me unconditionally. Slowly my heart began to feel again from the darkness that I was in. I didn't care about anything, whether I lived, whether I died, whether I had my job, whether I got fired. Nothing meant anything of meaning. All gone. And then it took another couple of years, 3, 4, 5, 6 years, before God can get back into my heart. But I say this because even when we don't turn to God, as God is saying, and even though we don't believe, and even though we may choose anything other than God in the midst of our own despair and our own darkness, God never gives up hope. God continues endlessly, repeatedly, to bring us back. To put something in us that we ourselves don't even know we're capable of. Enjoy. Swedenborg says, an illustration of this darkness is that when we suffer physically, our soul does not suffer. It merely feels distress. After victory, God relieves that distress and washes it away like tears from our eyes. And now what has been 21 years or so since that time of my experience, God has washed it away. there is a new glory, a love of God that's in my heart, much more profound than it was back then. And when Jesus raised Lazarus out of the cave, we read that people came to believe in him. People came to know of God in their midst, incarnated in the form of Jesus. There's a lot of darkness in this world. A lot of painful things that happen. There's sometimes we look at Fukushima, Japan, and we can feel the anguish in our hearts for the people who've lost their homes, their lives, let alone their work and their livelihood or any sense of stability they may have. Where do they turn? Where do we turn if somebody in our family or someone close to us dies or is murdered? What if one of our children is murdered? Where do we turn? It's not a very pleasant topic. But it's a topic that gets to the core of this relationship with God. If we can remain in our faith of God when God seems completely absent, we can feel inwardly linked with God, as Swedenborg says. A year and a half ago, I was talking with a woman about one of her dreams, and she had a dream kind of came about as a reaction to so much of the darkness she saw in this world. Where on the news the night before, there was a man who was walking down the street, saw a guy who was injured, ran to go get help, came back to help this person, and was killed by someone else. And that night, she had a dream. And in this dream, she saw all of the darkness and all of the pain of our world and in her life. And it was all laid out before her. And it all made sense. All of it. Not one piece was left out. And it was all for the glory of God. And she was told in her dream that God holds all ends. All. Everything that any of us might feel, God is holding the end of that and how it's going to end up ultimately. And we don't know what that glory might be in our lives. It might be that when we die, we will see how we are raised up alive because having believed in God incarnate, we continue to live and see the glory of God in heaven. It might be through little acts, like for me at least, the restoration of God in my heart. That was a restoration. That was a resurrection for me from the darkness of my own depression. Peter Kingsley was a man who had a spiritual teacher who gave him a very good piece of advice just before all of this happened in his life. Stay anchored in your belief in God. Because his teacher knew what he was about to go into. And he did. In the midst of his car, seeing his car totaled, he held true to that belief in his heart. He continued to lean on God. When his wife left him, he continued to remain steadfast in his love of God. And when his house was taken away and his health declined when he was in the hospital, he continued to remain in that belief. the glory of God now shines in his heart.